we're at the end of Philippians. No cheers? No response? I hope you've enjoyed going through it with me. I certainly have. Now, I heard about a man and a woman. They'd been married for more than 60 years. Very long time. And they had shared everything. They'd kept no secrets from each other, except that the woman had a shoebox under the bed that she told her husband never to open or to ask about. Such was their love and trust for each other that for 60 years he never tried to open it once. But then one day the woman grew sick, and the doctor said that she was not going to recover. And when the end drew near, she asked her husband to reach under the bed and pull out the shoebox. "It's time to reveal the secret," she said, "and tell you what's inside." So with a trembling hand, he lifted the lid, and he found inside 2 crochet dolls and £50,000 in cash. He was a little confused, and not just because he was old. "When we were to be married," his wife said, "my grandmother told me that the secret of a happy marriage was never to argue, and that if I ever got angry with you, I should keep quiet and crochet a doll." The old man was so moved, he had to fight back the tears. There were only 2 precious little dolls in the box. In all those years of living and loving, she'd only ever been angry with him 2. He almost burst, he was so happy. "That explains the dolls," he said, "but what about all that cash?" "Oh, that," she said, "that's the money I made from selling the dolls." I think I can see some of you were there at the punchline before I was. But our passage this morning is all about a secret. Paul says, have a look in verse 12. Paul says, "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation." Sound good? Yeah? Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, I can now reveal, after an entire summer of preaching, that the secret is not a secret at all, but what Paul's been saying all along. You already know the answer. You already know the secret, because that's what the book of Philippians is all about. The secret of being content is the same as the secret of finding joy in the journey, the name of our series. It's the same as learning the deep peace of God in all circumstances. Have a look in verse 14. Paul says, "It was good of you to share in my troubles." Though he was a long way away, they still cared deeply for him. They showed him that genuine concern that he commended Timothy for. Do you remember that a few weeks ago? We were talking about caring for one another and the genuine concern that Timothy showed. But more than that, they helped him financially. Verse 16, "You sent me aid more than once when I was in need." In fact, for a while, and just before that, in verse 15, they were the only church in the area that was supporting him at one point. Now, you see, Paul had a principle in all his churches that actually the Church of England follows today. You may be surprised to hear. Those with plenty support those in need. Did you know that Paul invented the parish share? The common fund? Have you heard about that? Don't even know what that is. Let me just explain briefly. In the Church of England, you guys don't pay me. I get paid by the church commissioners in London. But the day before the church commissioners pay me, the Diocese of Birmingham has to send them £50 to pay my stipend. And that money comes from all the churches in the whole of the Birmingham area pay what's called the Common Fund. And that is to cover the cost of what they pay a vicar, the cost of the house, the cost of the pension, and a diocesan amount, and the training budget, which pays for things like curates and vicars who want to go to be trained, stuff like that. And the total amount of money for all of that is something like £56,000 a year per vicar. We don't get paid anything like that, before you all think. And each church pays an amount of money towards the diocese. And overall, the amount that all the churches pay has to be equal to £56,000 times the number of vicars. Does that make sense? So some churches in Birmingham pay quite a lot of money because they've got lots of money. I think it's St John's Harbour, Knoll Parish Church and St John's Walmley pay an awful lot of money. We pay less than we should because we can't afford to pay £56,000 a year. So the churches with plenty support the churches with a need. That's the principle that Paul set out here. Paul says in verse 12, I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty. He's been on both sides. Sometimes in his life he's been fine. You know what? This is great. Sometimes, you know, he was shipwrecked a few times. He was beaten and left for dead. All sorts. He's in prison at the moment. He knows what it means to be in need. And yet, he is content whatever the circumstances. So he didn't seek their gifts. He says, just across the page in verse 17, not that I desire your gifts. He's not being rude there. He's just saying that he knows that their generosity was a gift. It wasn't payment for services rendered. Paul is commending the Philippians for living out their faith in a very practical way. He describes it in verse 18 as a fragrant offering. That reminds me of Noah. You know, when Noah got out of the ark, do you know what he did? He made an offering to God. He burned up one of the animals that he'd saved. I think it was one of the ones that he had seven of, not one of the ones he had two of. I don't know. But perhaps they'd been breeding in the ark. He burned one, and it says that the sacrifice was favourable to God. A pleasing aroma. The sacrifice was a sacrifice of thanks. Noah was saying, thank you for saving me and my family. And that's what this gift was from the Philippians. They're saying thank you to God. And the way they're saying thank you is by giving some money to Paul to support his ministry. Now, we don't burn animals anymore, but we've got money. And it's really an important part of being a disciple that we give sacrificially out of thanks to God. So, Paul says that one way we can be content in all circumstances is if we support each other practically. So those with plenty support those in need. But there's also a right attitude that we need to have. Did you notice in verses 11 and 12, there are three very important little words. He says in verse 11, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. In verse 12, I have learned the secret of being content. He says, I have learned. Now, this isn't something that happens by osmosis. You know what osmosis is? It's what plants do. The water just sort of gets, they don't do any sucking, the water just sort of seeps up into them and they get fed by the water. That's osmosis. Well, it doesn't work like that. I used to wish that I could learn French like that. You know, I used to put my French dictionary on the desk at home and I would hope that when I woke up in the morning I'd be fluent. It didn't work. I sometimes hope that all the books on my shelves in my study would sort of absorb into me while I'm sitting in there working. Well, it doesn't work. There was a fad, wasn't there, a few years ago of people putting things on tapes and playing them while they were asleep. Sometimes they use it to try and stop smoking or to learn a language. Well, it doesn't really work. If it's too easy, it's not worth learning. Learning takes effort. Learning something worthwhile takes effort. See, others can help to meet our needs, but if we never learn the discipline of obedience, we will never learn the secret of being content. We'll just be a load of needy whiners. We don't want that. Paul says, Philippians 1:27, whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Philippians 2 verse 12. Therefore, my friends, as you have always obeyed, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 3 verse 13. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. And Philippians 4 verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Do you see the connection between those four verses? From throughout the whole letter, it's about hearing and doing. It's about putting into practice what we've learned. It's about living out our salvation, taking the gift that God has given us and making the most of it. Friends, there are times when all we can do is lean on the support of others. That is one of the wonderful things about having a church family. But we mustn't get lazy and think that following Jesus is easy. If you think it's easy, if you think it doesn't take much effort, then you probably need to have a bit of reflection about how important your faith is to you, about how serious you are about it. See, salvation, that's a free gift. You don't have to do anything to earn it. But it wasn't cheap. It might be free, but it's not cheap. It came at great cost. Jesus gave his life so you could live yours. So following him, living out that life, should also be costly. Should involve sacrifice. That's why it's called a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice. It's not easy, and it's not cheap. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, Paul says. Are you willing to learn to be content with what you have instead of coveting what you don't have? Are you willing to look for God in the valley of the shadow of death, where he is still with you, no matter what happens? You see, Paul's contentment was learned through hard times and through good times. He had some really harsh lessons. First lesson he learned from God, he was blinded to help him see. There is no shortcut. I'm sorry about that. There is no shortcut, but the journey is worth it. Because as we learn, so we learn where true joy is found. And that's the third thing about deep contentment. Where is it found? In Jesus. Now, one of the things I've learned about Philippians this summer is the unflinching way that Paul directs our gaze to Jesus. In the four chapters, I've counted almost 60 references to Jesus. That's 60. And I've put them all on a piece of paper, which you can take home with you later. Right at the beginning of this series, I said that finding joy in the journey is all about learning where to look. Jesus. To live is Christ, Paul says. To die is gain. I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. In other words, Paul is saying, Jesus, knowing Jesus is so great, I'd be willing to lose everything because I'd still have Jesus. That's all that matters. It's what Jesus says when he says we must go and give up everything to the poor. We had a conversation about it the other day. Jesus commands us to give up everything to the poor and serve him. Well, actually, what I think he means by that is we must be ready to give up anything and everything because we still have Jesus. He is worth more than everything else. It's all about Jesus. If we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, who are we going to copy? Who are we going to imitate? Well, Jesus. When we struggle with temptation, who can spur us on with his perfect example? Jesus. Who binds us together in love and an unbreakable unity? Jesus. Who is enough? You know that word enough? Who is enough? Who is with us no matter what? Who is the one whose suffering and resurrection, whose power to save, whose peace is stronger than anything in this world? It's Jesus. Hallelujah. No one? See, it's my prayer that while I'm here as your vicar, and hopefully long after I've left, our focus will be on Jesus. Yes, we need to fill some of these empty chairs. Yes, we need to pay more money to the diocese. Yes, we need to reach out more effectively. But in all that, our focus, first and foremost, must be fully on Jesus. Because actually, that's the most important thing. And if when I leave, that's all we've done, well, that's worth it. Because that is the most important thing. Paul says, rejoice. What does he say? Rejoice in the Lord. Always. And again I say, rejoice. If we want to find joy in the journey, we need to learn where to look at Jesus. So I'm going to leave these at the back after the service. If you'd like to take one, please do. Have a look through the list of verses. If any one of them jumps out at you when you're looking through it, I've put the verse references next to each verse. So you can go and look it up in the book, and you can read it and pray about it. And pray that God would make Jesus your focus. Try and learn that lesson. It's also double whammy this week. On the back, you have last week's sermon in note form. I've made a few notes on last week's passage and some questions for you to reflect on at home, on your own, with a friend, with a family member, or in your home groups. So do please have a look at that. I don't want you to miss out on a bit of Philippians, so it's all there. Well, some of it's there. It's what you would have heard about last week if I'd been here. Finding joy in the journey doesn't end today with the end of Philippians. This is the start of a journey that I hope we'll be on together for several years to come. It's the beginning of a journey as we learn to be faithful and fruitful, following Jesus together. Amen. Now we're going to